The Lord is good.
I said the Lord is good. Today, I'm going to, well, the prayer we're going to pray is that I'm going to lead, I'm going to bless the people of God. That's what I want to do. And let me caption the message, short message I'm going to preach before, or as part of the prayer. I'm going to exhort a bit, and then from there, we'll go into praying. I've titled today's meditations what I call the blessing of the blessed man. Amen? What I call it? The blessing of the blessed man. All right. Now, let me just read a portion of the scriptures to start our prayer today. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Numbers. I want to explain a principle. Then after that, you'll now see what I'm trying to do. Numbers chapter 6. I'll be reading from verse 22. Now, this was a commandment the Lord gave to Aaron and his sons through the mouth of Moses. He said, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. This is how you will bless them. You will say to them. He said, you shall say to them. Notice the word, you shall say to them. You shall not fight with them. You understand what I'm saying? You don't necessarily have to pour oil upon them. It is not just those things that you do. It's not the laying on of hands that's important, but it's what you say to them. He said, you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. In 26, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. He says, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel. I then will bless them. Now let's look at three layers of blessings here. He said, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them. I want to note that there are two layers of blessings there. One, Aaron and his sons are going to bless the people by saying to them. But I want you to understand something. They are not going to bless just anybody. They have to bless a group of people. And those are who? The sons of Israel. Now, so the first blessing actually is that you are a son of the covenant. That's the first blessing. Then Aaron and his sons, the priests in Israel, will now pronounce blessings upon them because they already have a blessedness inside them. What they are actually doing is activating the blessing that's inside them already. It is not Aaron and his sons that are producing blessings. It's a covenant they have with God that's producing the blessing. I hope you have what I'm saying, all right? It's a covenant they have. But then sometimes you need to cause those things that are deposited inside people by virtue of their relationship with God to be released. Then you will say to them. You know, I was sharing something with Yinka this evening. And I said, and this really happened today. Can you believe it? It happened today. I just entered the bathroom. I think I wanted to go and brush or something. Then suddenly I realized that Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. And, you know, revelation, instantly, I just had understanding. The way we think about it is as if Jesus said, if you believe that this flower here is going to grow and become a roko tree, be it unto you according to your faith. That's the way we look at it. If you believe that you will sit down around, all right, and do nothing, and then prosperity and abundance will just be raining on your head as you're walking on the road, then it will happen to you. I thought about it. I said, no, that was not what Jesus said. It just hit me this morning that no, he couldn't have said that. And that actually what happens is this. Every belief pattern, every manner of thinking, every way you set your heart in life has a natural recompense of reward that God has tied to it. So Jesus said, be it unto you according to the pattern that you have chosen. What am I saying? If that person has said, be it unto me according to my faith, and he said, I'm going to touch the hem of Herod's garment and I will be blessed. In the days of Jesus, would they have been healed? It's not just about saying that, I'm going to go and look, according to my faith, I will touch Herod. Herod was not carrying any anointing. If you like, believe from now till thy kingdom come, you ain't getting anything out of Herod's garment. That's the reason I'm saying this. I was just sharing with you, it was today, it just struck me, that a man who goes around and says that, yes, I believe in abundant prosperity, and he just say, according to your faith, I said, because of that, I ain't going to do anything. I'm going to bless anybody. I'm just going to walk around. God said, that pattern produces poverty, be it unto him according to his thinking pattern. You know, something led to it. I can't give you the gist now. I'll give you a bit of the gist. I said, there are people who say that, hey, when you just give 10 cars at a go as an offering, the next day, abundance will suddenly pour. You can't believe it into prosperity because it is a lie. Be it unto you according to your faith. You have chosen a wrong thinking pattern. Poverty is waiting up front. See, that's why Jesus said, be careful how you pull your ears to listen. You don't just go around and drink nonsense and expect prosperity or blessings to come because you are acting upon a lie. Listen, it's important you hear the truth. You can't sit in the midst of deception and think this is my faith. It will be unto me according to my faith. I said, Jesus couldn't have meant that if you lie, believe that Herod is the son of God, then he will become the son of God to you. Jesus said, say to that fox, Herod was a fox as far as Jesus was concerned. He did not carry any healing anointing. This is why I'm saying this. A lot of us put a lot of faith in the blessing of a man of God. People will break every law of God to get a man of God's blessing, anointing. The first thing I want to point out there is that the blessing that is coming from the mouth of the priest must meet a blessed man before God will now bless them. That's the third level. That is, what God was saying is that when you invoke my name like that, what happens is that I will now release my power into their everyday living. Why? Because they are sons of Israel, sons of the covenant. And the priest of God has activated those blessings by saying to them, the Lord bless you. Are you getting my point? He has said to them, may the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord give you peace. So when I hear that, all right, what happens that they will hear it. As it enters into them, it activates the blessing that is already inside there because they are sons of the covenant. Then, outwardly, I begin to pour blessing in their footpaths. Are you getting my point? It's very crucial. No man of God can bless a man who's cursed. Listen, just like Balaam could not curse people who were blessed, no man can bless a man that is cursed. If he likes, let him pray from now till tomorrow. I told you a story that was in front of your mind told some time ago about a woman, a very rich woman. She liked to hang around men of God. It's very common. I found that people whose ways are not straight, they often like it. They like it. What's happening is that the people think that that's a shortcut to God's blessing. This woman will spend money, organize prayer meeting in her house. And you know, men of God, now, a lot, you know, I mean, there are different kinds of prophets. A lot are very cheap. Most of the ones you see around it, they are very cheap. They prophesy lies when you give them money. And let me tell you something. Don't think they wake up in the morning and say, yes, today, I'm going to go and tell a lie so I can get money. No, once you love money, the spirit of lying enters your mouth. Go and, no, really, that's the way it is. Go and see what happened when Ahab and, Jehoshaphat sat down. They decided whether they should go to battle or not. They say a lying spirit departed from the presence of God and entered into the mouth of the prophets. The prophets thought they were prophesying because they could feel the anointing. Did you know that? The spirit was in their mouth, so they knew something was controlling, so they thought they were prophesying. So, of course, I've been in places like that before. Once you don't cook rice, put plenty of meat, put plenty of, you know, sweet around it, they will fast in the morning and break the fast at night. Oh my God, the anointing, the heavy, if you know what I mean. I've seen it. The pastors become blind. They become stupid, like the Bible says. They can't discern anymore. You see a man, a woman whose ways are not straight. You can't tell the truth. Suddenly you start prophesying against the enemies. All the enemies I have gathered against you. Hear ye the word of the Lord. They are about to scatter. They are about to scatter. They are about to scatter. And, amen. Amen. God said, look, pray from now till tomorrow. He said, destruction is determined. overflowing with righteousness. There's nothing that's going to change it. What am I going to explain? This fellow in question, from the story ahead, the few days, prophecy, all-night prayer, anointing. 2 days later, her son took a knife and stabbed her like 30 times and killed her. The prophet did not see 2 days before. Those who knew the story said that, look, this, what is summary? This is not a blessed person. Do you get my point? You cannot prophesy blessing upon the life of somebody who is not repentant. You can't prophesy blessing upon the life of somebody who has rejected the word of God. You cannot prophesy blessing just because he brought an offering. You can't. Let's not talk about pastors. Let's talk about those who want the blessing. That's what the message is. That's not the sign I'm focusing on, but I just want to understand something. Before people go out to go and look and beg for blessing, they should make sure that first of all, they are what? Blessed people. Are you getting my point? Listen, after look, you are your own number one prophet. Too. You get my point? You are your own number one priest. The blessing that will be activated by the words of a man of God must first be inside you. He can't produce it if it was not there. So Aaron and his children could not go to the sons of Ammon and say, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep thee. They couldn't. They couldn't go to the sons of Canaan and say, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. No. They couldn't go to the sons of Moab and say, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. From where? Which peace? They couldn't do that. They had to focus their blessings upon the sons of Israel who had approached unto them. Go and check it, usually in the temple. It's not in their homes. They had come with God's sacrifices. They had come with God's, you know, obedience to God's ordinances. And they encountered the priest. All right? As part of the obedience, all right, to the God's covenant, the man begins to pour forth a blessing. Please, I hope you've gotten that point. And you see the kind of people I want to bless this evening. All right, let's continue. And that scripture, okay, another point I need to make. So you see, a prophet, blessing, when it comes forth like that, is just a point of release. Or like I always say, it's a principle of resonance. When the, you know the physics, those of you who know physics, resonance. When the frequency of the words coming forth jams the correct identical frequency of the blessing inside the heart, the two of them unite and the amplitude suddenly bursts forth outside, all right? As manifestation of divine blessings. Are you getting my point? That's the way it works, all right? Okay. So let me quickly explain something. Who is it that I want to talk about this evening? Who are the people I want to bring forth the word of God upon? And those are the people that are blessed. Let me first say something. You've heard it said that the blessing of God, it makes rich, not they. The blessing of God makes rich and doesn't add any sorrow with it. Now, I want to explain something. If you've read my book, funny enough, I think a few copies showed up recently. The Blessing. Some of the first books we released. Was it among the ones you found? We found some books. Here on Purpose and The Law of Life. Just showed up recently. Anyway, maybe The Blessing is not there. But if you don't have a physical copy, I'll reprint The Blessing very shortly. All right? But if you don't have a physical copy, you can just download it, all right, on the internet or borrow somebody's own and read. Please, I like the book, The Blessing. I explained what I want to say here in that book. Now, first, there is just one thing that is a blessing. Are you getting my point? Like that one, the one we read from Numbers chapter 6, the people had to be sons of the covenant. Do you get the point? And the same manner, under this new dispensation, under the new covenant, there is just one thing that is the blessing. And that thing, let me just give you the simple word, is called righteousness. The blessing that God gives people is called what? Righteousness. Let's read the scripture, all right? It will make it very clear. The book of Galatians chapter 3. Put that thing in mind. When I say, be it unto you according to your faith, what Jesus was saying is that, look, there are belief patterns in life, there are things your mind is set upon. If you have it, each one of them has something tied to it. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you touch the hem of his garment, you will be made whole. You know what happens? Because it carries the anointing. Do you follow my point? You will touch the hem of the garment and you'll be made whole. If you believe that you touch the hem of Herod's garment and be made whole, you will touch the head of hem of Herod's garment, you'll be made sick. I mean, if it's to you according to your faith, did he have not bragged to Micaiah that lock him up, let me go to battle and be back? He believed he would be back. Did he come back? No, answer me, did he come back? No. Why? Because the true faith has said he's going to Ramoth Gilead and he's going to die there. And Ahab said, watch it. I believe I'm going to go to Ramoth Gilead. I believe I'm going to come back. And it was to him according to his faith. Why? Because he disobeyed the true word of God. That was his faith. Disobedience to the word of God. It was to him according to that disobedience. He dies there. You get the point? He dies there. In life, it's very important. In fact, I like the way Paul said, don't let anybody deny you of your reward by making you believe wrong doctrines. Ahab was so sure he would come back. Did he come back? He didn't come back. It's important we believe the right things. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. And listen, I was like, Yinka and I were discussing. As anybody wants to be deceived, feel free. No, yes. If you really, 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 really want to know the truth is flying around these days. Yes, it is. If you want to be, if you have been deceived in this 21st century, you love deception. Actually, the reason is because, see, truth, like I was saying on Saturday, it puts a lot of responsibility upon you. It does. I went to preach somewhere, I shared with you here some time ago. And I was explaining that there are keys of life. I told them what my friend Larry said. That breakthrough a lot of times is needed when you have lost the keys. That nobody breaks the door of his house to enter, except he has lost the key. When I finished, a young man walked up to me and said, sir, those keys, can you just quickly drop two of them for me, especially in the area of prosperity? I said, no problem. Number one key is called patience. Number two key is called diligence. You must be ready to wait. You must understand. There's another key of understanding times and seasons. There is a time to sit down. I was telling Yinka today as we were speaking. No, there were some books I ordered for a friend of mine. So plenty of books we were just discussing. Huh? I said, yeah. That I don't spoil you. That I'm not like I used to be. I'm praying that God should reinstate me. Why? I said, Yinka, all these books, I will go through them. That is like this, one after the other. Because there's some books I bought from him some time ago. One of them I've not read. I said, this is not happening. I said, when I finished youth service that time, 93, something moved me to Lagos, Divine Ordinance, walking through different methods. Lagos was where doctors were finding jobs anyhow. I didn't find one. But you know what? For a long time, for months, I remember in 8 months, I listened to Bishop David Oyedepo Ilung for over 500 hours. I'm not counting Kenneth Hagin, Miles Monroe, Derek. I'm not counting, just him alone. I listened. I knew that God closed the doors of every employment to me because the day I told him that I needed to get something, the very next day, not 1 week after, the following day, one of my senior friends from university, Augustine Uto, came to my house and said, they need the doctor so and so place. I was telling Yinka today, I said, Yinka, do you know that most of the things I teach today, I'm telling you, that was end of, I finished my service end of 93. This is 93 into 94. That job, I got it in July 94. Stopped it sometime in 95. Started my residency 1st and 2nd of January 96. And then 95, sorry. They overlapped for a while. The day my friend Chuk saw me, we came for a convention in Benin, the one I go every year that you guys know about. As I came down from the bike that took me to the convention center from the gate of the university, as I came down, he said, Black, that's what he calls me. I hear you're the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. That was how he greeted me as I was coming down from the bike. He said, hey, Black, I hear you're the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. I can never forget that comment. I have some very jovial friends. Listen, my brethren, if you are sitting down here today to listen to this guy talk, it is because that season happened. Are you getting my point? It's because that season happened. I still have books I wrote shortly after that. I can show you some of them, hardcover. I only used to write things that I understood from not reading anybody else. That is, I was just meditating and the Holy Spirit breathed understanding into me. I will write it down. I filled a big hardcover 80-leaf notebook. I have it at home. I have it till today. I said, I'm going to put some of those things into what I call Instructions in Righteousness, Volume 2. Some of those teachings. It was because that season happened. I told that young man wanted the keys. These are the keys. He was disappointed. He was disappointed. That's how people make merchandise of people's souls. I could give him Kingdom World Ministry account number. I said, go and sow a dangerous seed inside there. And you know what he will do? He will sow a dangerous seed. Except that it will be to him according to his faith. What do I mean? Doesn't work, so he gets nothing. I hope you are following what I'm saying. People love to be deceived. I said, she opened somewhere. Why? Where? Galatians 3. You must labor to enter into a certain place so that when the blessing is come forth, it's yours. All right. I was saying that blessing, the real blessing, the singular blessing, that's the blessing of God, is a blessing of righteousness. Galatians chapter 3. Let me read from verse 6. He said, even so Abraham, let me just start from verse 5. He said, does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was quoting from Genesis. Therefore, be sure that it's not those who are of... He said, therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Notice that. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. And the scripture, verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. And notice that. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. You notice that? Abraham believed God, and he became what? A righteous man. And those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. That is, they also believe God, and God gives to them what? Righteousness. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. Now, righteousness now attracts every other thing to it. That's why I said the blessing of God makes rich. So he will tell you, mark the righteous man, his seed will be mighty upon the earth. It is because of righteousness that might and increase is imparted into his seed. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you in life, fight, struggle, do whatever you have to do to find yourself pleasing in God's sight all the time. You heard me say several times, it was there. I want to have my children in America so that they can have, you know, a chance. As long as I don't disobey God, all the chances that children need, my children have them already. God forbid this will not happen. I won't die today, amen? But if I were to die now, it's even to their advantage. So I can't sin again, amen? Said, mark that righteous man. He walked with God and he was not, because God took him. Therefore, his seed will be mighty upon the earth. They don't need any passport. They don't need it. They want the passport of heaven, is all they need. If they wake up one day, decide, say, I'm going to Yugoslavia. One day, the president of Yugoslavia will be coming to their house to ask questions. That is, they will be so powerful. They will be so powerful. I mean, I like the story of Sunday Adelaja. I love that man's story. That Bill Clinton said democracy survived in Ukraine because of him. It's a testimony. In fact, I like the picture of that. If you see the picture on the cover of his book, Church Shift, you see a mass of white heads and one Negro standing in the center. That is the pastor. People fought and persecuted him. But the Spirit of God kept him standing. The righteous one, one of the blessings, he said that even though he falls, he will not fall headlong. That is, he won't fall in such a manner so as to be injured and die. But the Lord will raise him up again. It's a blessing of righteousness. Listen, the thing that God gives is that thing, righteousness. Every other thing is attached to it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he discovered the magnetic power of pulling in every other thing that you can ever, ever wish for in life. Added to righteousness. That's what he said. The blessing of God is the blessing of righteousness. Who do I want to bless today? Quickly, open to Psalm 1. Whatever we get to today, we'll get there. And who are those who are righteous? Of course, like we read, is those who are of faith. The righteous people are those who have totally committed their lives to God through his son, Jesus Christ. They are the people who are forsaking their past ways and who have held on to God by faith. The faith of his son, Jesus Christ. That is what righteousness is. And when those people are blessed, listen to me. You know, sometimes I go to churches, I the word of God does not lie. So you see a pastor stand and be declaring blessings. Some people think it's because they came on 1st of January. That is why the blessing will be their portion. You know, God said, look, I show myself crafty to the man who thinks he gets sense. I've been in church before. You sit down in church, 11:30, boys, babes, they go walk out, come up from Premier Garden, sneak into church, because by 12 o'clock, it will be 1st of January. As you are singing, they are there, singing with you. As they are worshiping, they are looking at you, they don't get the point. Then the pastor will begin to bless. This coming year is a year of breakthrough. Amen. This year, favor will come upon you. Amen. This year, prosperity. And Happy New Year. Boys will sneak out after that back into Premier Club. They continue the frolicking, the partying. Like the Bible said, they rose to play, to eat and drink, and rose up to play. They continue their playing. Ungodly playing that makes Moses command the execution of men. And they think that because 1st of January met them inside church, they are blessed. Because the pastor said, everyone present here today, everyone means every one of the sons of Israel present here today. Doesn't mean every joker and clown, mocker of God present here today. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, God is like DSTV. You know what I'm saying? The signals, it's a satellite television. The signals are broadcasting. It can cover the whole earth with signal. If you don't have the decoder and the correct smart card with your subscription paid, it won't enter. The picture won't enter into your television. So when you are there, the pastor is blessing. Hey, he shall be well. God said, I told you, he shall be well with the righteous. That's what the Bible says. So when you hear, he shall be well. If you like, shout the amen. From now to tomorrow, if you have not paid your subscription, which is faith in Christ Jesus, which is repentance and continuing in the work of God, that's a subscription. The subscription is not money. People go around preaching that you sacrifice, you bring cash. Money is not sacrifice. Are you stupid? Money is not sacrifice. Sacrifice in the blood, in the Bible is blood. It's blood, not money. And you want to sacrifice, it's called repentance for the forgiveness of sin. John the Baptist came preaching a gospel of baptism. How did he say it again? Preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's sacrifice. If you have not paid your subscription, do you understand my point? By this kind of baptism of repentance and walking in the ways of God, no matter the signals coming up, down from the satellite, you don't go see the photo. And except you see the kingdom of God, you can't enter. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, the signal is coming. Pastor is shouting, "He shall be well." He says, say to the righteous, "It shall be well with him." Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. Am I confusing you or just exciting myself? I was supposed to read somewhere, right? Psalm 1. He said, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. You know, I just realized the progression here. I've never noticed it like this before. The man first starts walking with people he's not supposed to walk with. Then he presses pause where you're not supposed to press pause. Then once you stop there, you now finally find you comfortable to sit down. You know, my wife and I were discussing today. I was correcting her about some things, you know, just discussing. And I said, this is not important. I said, anyway, wait, you almost understand something. That men tend to sleep. That's the normal way. You sleep away from something that is good. You start sleeping bit by bit. So you first walk in the council of the wicked. That's how you're going to stand in their path. Next thing, they find you. So sit down now. Is that hanging out with people? You know, I always say that men who start womanizing, they didn't plan to. They started by drinking and being sitting in joints with guys who womanize. After 6 years, depending, some 1 year, some 3 years, some 8 years, eventually the spirit will enter. The only way to prevent is to stop walking in the council. Then you will not be able to stand and then find yourself sitting comfortably. Anyway, that's just by the way. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Let me stop here first. We'll come down to what it will be like in a short while. I just brought these things up, all right, to show us that, one, a blessed person is who we are talking about. He must have the blessing in him. And this is how our blessing comes. I said, the blessing of God is righteousness. And herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So by our faith in Christ Jesus, which is demonstrated, this is very important. You know, I used to say something, let me just quickly say this. I'm not explaining the word demonstrated. You know, everybody goes to church. You understand my point? This is Nigeria. There's an epidemic of church going, especially in southern Nigeria. In fact, you know, when you come out on Sunday morning, when you go to the Pentecostal churches, you see so many people. You now think that, all the Catholics, church, all the Catholic churches are empty. Now lie. When you now go and Father Mbaka shows up, as you are finishing that, just enter one Anglican cathedral. You say, where are all these people from? I'll tell you, everybody goes to church. And if you realize there were a few millions in this city, the churches are not even enough to contain us. So church going and Christianity are not the same thing. They are not. They are not. I'm not making an issue here, all right? So I want to talk about the faith. I said I was going to tell you something. I've told you before that people say that, how did God speak to you about the wife you will marry? I said, well, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. And it was the voice of God. They wanted to hear that I was praying and then the heavens opened. Heaven did not open in one day. I've been climbing into heaven for a long time by the word of God. Are you getting my point? I said, well, I had things which the Holy Spirit had helped me to understand. Number one was that the person must. Now, this is what I'm going to. People say, must be a Christian. I said, no, I didn't pray, must be a Christian. Because, I mean, should I pray that one? I said, but must demonstrate that by the love that she has for the word of God. That's what I'm talking about. So, saying righteousness, we're not just talking about, say, I go to church too. Is that my son? It's not just that I went to church. No, but that's why I want to pray. Actually, something led me to want to pray this prayer today. Let me give it to you straight. You know, we meet here on Saturdays. Do you understand that? Yes. Most people who come here go to church on Sundays. And that's one of the reasons why I like that Saturday evening meeting. It's not convenient. It's between God, me, and the Holy Spirit. We connived and conspired to make, and then this is top floor. We connived and conspired to make sure that you won't come except you love the word that is being taught. That is a conspiracy between Father, Son being Banky now, and the anointing inside him to conspired, because narrow is the staircase that leads to top floor. Number one ancient avenue. So one day I thought to myself, this was about something last week. I said, no. Listen to me. That if anyone will take time out to pay that kind of attention to the word of God, hear ye the word of the Lord. The Bible says that person will be blessed in all that he does.
You get what I'm saying? Listen, everybody can go to church on Sunday. Doesn't impress me. No. Because it's a habit. In fact, it's harder to stay at home on a Sunday morning. Yeah, it's more difficult. Your landlord could kick you out. And you're a wicked soul. So, when we're talking about his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's what I'm saying. You know, I've seen people several times, you're talking with people, they say, "Ah, oh, Pastor Frank, I was so, maybe I go somewhere to go and preach. I was so blessed by that message today." And they were talking, "Hey, where can, you know, is there any way I can come and hear?" You know, they want to see whether you get shush where you don't start. I said, "No, I only teach at night on Saturdays." They said, "Ah, Saturday night. Oh, I did do wedding. I do decoration. Saturday night. Ah, I get choir practice. Saturday night. Ah, that's when we, my family, that's when we go and see my grandfather." It doesn't concern me. Did I come to beg you? Yeah, you can't ask me questions. When I hear this, it always makes me laugh. One day, a young man came and said, "Sir, I went to preach somewhere." He said, "We've not been hearing your radio again." I said, "Are you in Enugu here? Or you're coming from Abakiliki or Oka? Or maybe you're worried. Enugu here. And you have not been hearing me on radio." If the boy knew what was inside my mind, I wanted to slap his face. "You are in Enugu here? You have not been hearing me on radio. You don't know the radio to number 1 HM Avenue. If it is so important that you hear me, why don't you just come up there?" I'm talking about his delight is in the law of the Lord. It's not just that I go to church. No. It's that when I go to church, you know, I told you before that there are different kinds of prayers. There's prayer of faith, which is the one that God answers. But there are prayers of habit, prayers of jealousy. I forgot to add that one. There are prayers of idleness, prayer of desperation, prayers of imitation. In the same manner, there's going to church for different reasons. Some people go to church, they just join security. Why? They don't want to sit inside. They want to just work for the Lord. Just, you know, they are ushers so that they won't have to listen. I heard an usher, a chief usher somewhere, some time ago, whispering to his friend. Say, "Now, you know, say I'll be chief usher now. So I don't have to sit down there. I can move up and down, have excuse to move up and down." I said, "Very good." I go home and brag, "My name is Dikimbanki, the chief usher of El Shaddai God Almighty Incorporated International Churches, Headquarter Parish." No, but when a man loves God and is reflected, that's what I was saying. When I was praying my prayer about the wife, I said, "No, my wife must love the word of God. She must. That's my own. I mean, because you can be anything. You can be bad. You can be rude. You can be. If you love God's word, you will become something that the world has never seen before. That was why God preferred Jacob to Esau. You can call Jacob any name, but that the blessing of God was important to him, you couldn't take that from him. But Esau's in life, as far as God is concerned, they never go far. They know it. They know how to do it. They are good. They are righteous. They are holy. They've been perfect all their lives. All their lives, they've never done anything wrong. But Jacob is not like that. But because his delight is in the law of the Lord, God can make Jacob into anything. That's what I'm saying. I hope you know what I'm saying. Now, when a man is like that, the Bible says he's a blessed man. That's what I'm saying. The blessing is inside there. When you are prophesying blessing, those are the people that the blessing is catching. Now, I hope you know, I've talked plenty already. So, you know, there are people that they just want to come and hear, "Amen. God said, this year shall not be another ordinary year for you. Amen. It shall be an extraordinary year. Amen." That's what I just want to hear. Those prophecies, are they good? Yes. Do they work? They do. But they are being broadcast, like we said, like satellite signals. In one, you can go to a church, there are 100,000 people. Those who have bought the decoder, they are not up to 1,000. Those who have the correct smart card, maybe 500. Amongst them, only 25 have paid their subscription.